Welcome to In Focus. I'm Anthony Moreno. Our guest today is Jerry Pacheco. He is president of the Border Industrial Association, executive director of the International Business Accelerator, and he also writes a column for the Albuquerque Journal titled Business Across the Border. We continue our conversation with Mr. Pacheco now about trade, tariffs, and business along the borders. Mr. Pacheco, when we last left off in our conversation, you were talking about other countries having opportunities to move in where the United States is pulling back. How is that going to impact business, you know, in the U.S. and specifically along the border here in New Mexico?
I'll give you a specific example. We have a manufacturer in a really popular industrial field who's going to get affected by these tariffs on steel exports to Mexico. Okay, they have a minor competitor in Mexico that really doesn't participate, or they can't compete in the field that our Santa Teresa manufacturer is in, because our Santa Teresa manufacturer is so efficient. They've been in the industry a long time. They know what they're doing. They've got their customers locked up. Because of the tariffs on certain parts of the steel that they're shipping into Mexico, and that's the industry they're in, by the way, the tariff situation has allowed a Mexican company, which is an international company, but they have a presence in Mexico, to actually look at the industry our Santa Teresa company is in. That wouldn't have happened if we wouldn't have been down the road in this trade war and Mexico wouldn't have retaliated.
Now, you know, you mentioned trade war there. Are we at the point now where we really need to understand what exactly is a trade war and how it's going to impact the United States?
Well, it's like a tit for tat kind of deal. It's we started it, by the way. It's like you punch somebody, they can either walk away and say, well, I mean, I'm the better person or whatever, but most likely somebody's going to punch right back. Well, the United States is the 800-pound gorilla in the world. We're still the world's largest economy. But we're not the world's economy. We don't account for, you know, 50% of the world's economy anymore. So by taking action of slapping tariffs against China, you slap tariffs against Mexico, against Europe, I don't see how the administration, the Trump administration, and he actually said this, I don't think they're going to retaliate. And he referred to Mexico when he said that. Of course they're going to retaliate. They've got to. It's not only an economic thing, it's a political thing. If you're the Mexican president and you don't retaliate and you get punched in the eye, your population and your constituents are not going to be supporting you. So it's a very disturbing trend. We come out with a tariff. A couple of days later, you know, our allies and adversaries, you know, I would understand if we were playing this game with adversaries, but our allies are doing the same thing to us. Canada and Mexico, the European Union. I mean, we're going to stand alone in this world, not only economically, but politically. And I just see a lot of harm being done right now.
Now, I want to talk about that a little bit more. You mentioned harm politically. How can that harm be done when it comes to the United States standing not only as an economic power, but politically in the world?
Well, one of the things I'll point out is if we're so apt to cancel agreements like the Iran non-nuclear proliferation agreement, if the president is so apt to tear up NAFTA, he says he's going to tear it up, why would any nation in the future take the word of the United States when it enters into an agreement or some kind of an arrangement with us, when we're not a reliable partner that they can rely on? Yeah, NAFTA needs to be renegotiated. There's not a single person I've ever spoken to that says it can be updated. It can stand to be updated. But to tear it up, or even to put a clause which is holding back the negotiations, our approach to the NAFTA agreement is that we want to renegotiate it, but have it expire every 5 years, and then have it renegotiated. How can I tell a company that's going to invest $30 million in the Santa Teresa industrial base, please come to Santa Teresa, but in 5 years, your business model might totally be turned on its head?
Now it seems like, yeah, that could obviously impact your recruiting businesses. What about the businesses that have already made major investments in Santa Teresa? Obviously, last year, your area where you work took over as leading in the state in exports, as the top exporting business area. So what does that do to the businesses that are succeeding there, that want to grow? What are their thoughts now?
I can tell you of at least three companies that have frankly told me that they would have added another line, they would have hired 15 people, they would have done this, they would have brought another line down from Wisconsin or wherever they are, whatever, the Midwest, but they're not going to do it in this tumultuous business environment. They cannot spend that kind of money on a business model that could change next week or after the elections or tomorrow or this afternoon. I mean, I sound extreme when I say that in terms of the changes, but it's not extreme at all. I'm serious when I say I don't know what's going to come out of Washington in the afternoon. So the companies that we have in our industrial base, God bless them, they're putting their nose to the grindstone, they're going forward, they're taking these hits. Some of the companies that are affected by the tariffs are sucking it up, and we haven't lost a company yet. But the real question I have is, how many more companies would have come? And that's the $64,000 question. I don't know. How many more jobs would have been created in the industrial base? Because we've had momentum, as you know, for the last 20 years, we've really had momentum in Santa Teresa. I can't answer how many would have come, how many jobs would have been there. But I think we would have had more, in my opinion, being at the ground level here. We would have had more companies and more jobs had not this trade war and this kind of fight that we initiated started.
The president has obviously issued some pretty tough rhetoric when it comes to border security and securing the U.S.-Mexico border. How does that impact business along the border, business with Mexico that you've been encountering over the last year?
You know, we've had a fence in Santa Teresa, a big fence, a wall, I guess you could describe it, since 9/11. I support secure borders. There's not a single one of us who operates there or lives there would want the border overrun. And I hate the reports that the border's being overrun by the, no, it's not, okay? Yeah, there's people crossing illegally. Yeah, there's contraband, but it makes it sound like hordes of people are coming across. That's not the truth. We have one industrial park that abuts the border. Our other three industrial parks are a few miles north. There's no way, if the border was insecure, that we could ever hope to recruit companies that are investing. One company invested $100 million. Are they going to do that in an area that's so insecure? I think the effect it has on us is more of a bother, because you've got disruptions at the borders once in a while, because the wall from Santa Teresa is being extended 20 miles to the west. Doesn't really affect us, but when the company has to tap into the water system and all of a sudden I get a call, hey, our water's out. What happened? Well, the company that's building the wall, whatever. It's more of a bother than anything. It's not reality that there's insecurity and it's affecting us.
What about the recent issue with the separation of families at the border? Has that had any impact business or anything like that?
Not from business, but I can tell you, to a business owner, the spiritual effect it has had on us. Because if you work at the U.S.-Mexico border, you automatically become an ambassador for cross-border relations, okay? For me to go to Mexico yesterday and spend the day there working with a customs broker, getting all this art to Silver City, and that topic comes up with the Mexicans, and they're not very mean to me, but it's a topic of discussion, and I feel ashamed that we as a country got to the point, and we were calling them tender holding areas or whatever. It just brought back the concentration camp, it brought re-education camp, all that kind of nomenclature that was used to describe something so horrible. I don't see how we as a nation that has opened up our arms to the world throughout our history and has been a compassionate nation has gotten to this point. I think it's more of a spiritual effect on all of us that work on the border, and we're so glad that's being or supposedly going to be resolved.
Businesses at the border right now, I imagine that you're on the phone a lot with them, constantly trying to keep them updated on what's happening and things like that. You also have to connect with the U.S. government, the Department of Commerce. Mm-hmm. How has that relationship been when trying to understand what's happening when all these announcements get made as far as tariffs go?
It's a fire drill. We have a great relationship with our local guy. Bob Queen represents the Department of Commerce in El Paso and Southern New Mexico. He's been a good friend for many, many years. But I feel sorry for him because when these announcements come out and I try to contact him and, hey, Bob, how's this going to work? How's it going to be implemented? He doesn't know. So he scrambles back to Washington. They don't know. We go to Mexico. They don't know. You know, it seems like the war happens at the highest levels and then it kind of trickles down slowly, the effects to the people on the ground. The end result is just confusion. And the last thing you want when you're trying to recruit investment and businesses is an unstable business environment. And that's what we're creating.
I want to talk a little bit more about China. We obviously talked about that in our last conversation. With everything that's happening with potential trade wars with other countries and things like that, how does China react? How is it reacting? Are they taking from the playbook that we wrote?
Well, they are. I mean, their actions kind of mirror what we're doing in this trade war. But the other effect that I think has occurred, I think it's emboldened China. China was always content to kind of be a little mousy and this and that and what have you. They've come out to be more vocal. They've been more emboldened to hit right back. And the thing about China that scares me is not so much that they're going to slap tariffs on what we're doing to them. They have the ability to pick at U.S. investment in China that has taken 25 years to get embedded there and know the Chinese system and start making money for U.S. companies, okay? And a lot of U.S. workers here depend on what's going on in those companies in China. China has the ability to disrupt that. And to me, even more than tariffs going back and forth, the ability of China to start to go back to the old Chinese ways of no foreign investment in China, or if you have a foreign investment, we're going to watch you, you're going to have a government person. That's what scares me more than anything.
Now, President Trump, when he came into office early in his first term here, he, you know, basically eliminated the TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership, the chance of that happening. If that would have went through, if the United States was in that partnership, how would have that played a role in China's role in this possible trade
war?
We
would have pretty much put China in check. And I'll tell you why, because that was an agreement in which the United States had the ability to kind of corral all of Asia and the Pacific nations, put them into a trade agreement where we have say, and we're the big dogs in having the say in negotiating that, which had been negotiating it, and we lock all these nations, some that have rogue practices, some that don't cooperate, into this agreement. China was not, you know, part of that. And so all of a sudden, we had an opportunity to kind of lock up Asia, not only economically, but from a political standpoint, because politics and trade feed off of each other. By us, on the first day of Trump's presidency, by pulling out of that whole agreement, I mean, it's like you invite the wolf to come in and say, okay, eat the pieces here, okay? You know, take what we leave on the table. And that's what's going to happen, and it's happening already.
We only have less than a minute left, but I'd like to hear, you know, what you think the next year is going to be like. What's your greatest concern, I'd like to hear?
The greatest concern is locally that NAFTA goes away. I always say that if NAFTA goes away, we're still going to trade the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. However, things are going to be more expensive, and we're not going to see the level of investment and the job creation we've seen, particularly here in New Mexico. In China, I would hate to think that the Chinese use that Trump card, no pun intended, to mess with the businesses in China. Forget the tariffs. They can pretty much throw out U.S. companies or make it so hard for them to do business. With Canada, God bless Canada, our biggest ally. I hope they can forgive us going forward for the negative rhetoric we've thrown on them. And the European Union, we cannot lose them because behind them in the East is Russia. And Russia is no ally of the United States. It's proven to be no ally. So for the coming year, I hope cooler heads prevail. I hope Very good economists and advisors advise the president and his team, because if what's happened in the last 6 months is kind of a harbinger for the next year, I don't even know what to tell you. I couldn't even predict what's going
to
happen.
Well, we look forward to having you back on, Jerry, as things unfold here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Anthony.
And we want to thank you for joining us for In Focus. I'm Anthony Moreno.